Hey folks, Dan with Holy Spirit Soapbox. I hope you're doing well today. I know you're blessed, and I hope you're feeling that blessing of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I pray that you can go and tell somebody about Jesus Christ today, because you don't know how that might affect them. So let's go out there. Let's spread the gospel, right? That's what our goal is here at Holy Spirit Soapbox, as you may know by now. And I just want to give us a little pat on the back. Okay, a little pat on the back here. We don't like to do this often, but we were featured and we were blessed enough to be in the top 25 Holy Spirit podcasts, I think, in the world. I think we're around like number 14 or something. Why we weren't number one, I don't know. But that's okay. We're still featured on this by FeedSpot. So really awesome to see. And it's a quick little shout out to FeedSpot for putting us on that list. So thank you so much to first Jesus Christ, who's giving us the inspiration with the Spirit to keep talking and keep going with this podcast. And then thank you all for listening in and for spreading the word of the gospel, of course, of Holy Spirit Soapbox, and praying for this podcast. So we thank you all. We're so happy and we're so excited to announce that. Now, speaking of not being number one in the world on this list, right? I promise I'm humbled by it, and I'm not mad. We think about like karma. We think about these things like you get what you put in, and this is all God working. Okay, so we're just letting God speak through us. We're letting the Spirit move, but there's this constant battle of this thing we call karma. You give good back to the universe, and the universe will give good back to you. Have you ever heard of that? I don't know if you live by those words. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before, but there are a lot of people that do. These good vibes type of things, like we're sending good vibes this way, that way, or towards me, so good things will happen. And honestly, I've never been a believer in that, because I believe in Christ, and I believe that God is in full control. I don't think that we can this put in and just receive exact back or more. I don't believe that. So God put this on my heart to talk about, right? Years ago, when I was in school, and I mean years ago, when I was in school, I was never the type to like barter and trade with people. There were so many kids in the cafeteria during lunch that would exchange things like Oreos for pudding packs, or like chocolate milks for juices, for sandwiches for Lunchable, or whatever. Like, there was so many things going on with like bartering and trading, and like, hey, you give me that and I'll take that back, or I'll take some of those and you take some of these and I'll give you this for that. You know what I mean? It was like one of those things where it's just constant bartering, and I was never a fan of that anyway. But as I've gotten older, out of those fun years of my life where I could have got some really cool stuff, I'm sure, but I didn't try, I started to wonder if this essence of like giving to get was in our nature, and like transactions were just like an essential part of who we are as humans. I thought about that. And then I thought of the other side of it. Are we just taught to be that way? That really hit me. The world is filled with transactions, as we know. And a great example is when we go to like a restaurant and a waiter or waitress comes by, asks what we want to eat, all that stuff, right? They serve our table, we drop off money, and then we continue on with our day with like a full stomach, hopefully, okay? We typically don't have a conversation with the waiter or waitress. Sometimes we do, hey, how's your day going? Make a couple jokes here and there, whatever. They might suggest certain things, and then we just go on our way anyway, right? We have this really full stomach, and then we have this unnecessary slice of pie because they suggested it, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's this constant, like, transactional thing at a restaurant. Now, outside of the restaurant, even if you go to a grocery store, a store, or whatever, everything is like, take this, and I'll give you this. It's like nothing in life is free, and we hear that often. So, most recently, I had a conversation with a colleague at work. And now this colleague was just so down in the dumps, okay? They had no confidence left. So I'm like, hey, what's going on, you know? And they kind of confided in me and a while back. And they said that they grew up in a religious Christian background, but they don't consider themselves Christian anymore, okay? That's just a little bit of context. But in this situation, they mentioned they didn't feel valuable. And they felt like no matter how hard they worked and did things for our company, they weren't getting rewarded or getting any praise, right? They weren't getting no raise. They weren't getting no praise, okay? Now, this ugly face of this transactional or meritocratic world shows itself clear as day. I put my hard work in and good karma. Well, why am I not receiving it back? Why am I not getting money or rewards or awards or good karma? Why am I not getting these things back? So I personally was born in a Christian household as well. My parents didn't really teach this, but others alluded to the fact where I have to do good and God will love you. Or God gives you good gifts unless you're bad. Or God hates when you're bad. Well, shoot, God must hate me. I keep being bad, so he must hate me. So whatever, I keep messing up. I keep making my parents angry. I don't like this God. Right? It's impossible to do good all the time, so I'm just going to do what I want. I'm just going to continue being bad, because that's what I'm good at, apparently. Now, imagine a world where you have to earn literally everything, including love. Like, every morning you wake up, you have to earn trust and love from your loved ones. And that's on top of, like, work. The stuff that you do to buy or earn food or water, shelter, transportation, all that stuff. It wouldn't make sense now, would it? And it would probably make you nuts. I would go nuts for sure. And I can really only hope my friends and family, and most importantly, my wife and my children, don't feel that I expect this type of transaction for my love to be earned. I hope they don't wake up every day like, oh, how can I earn Dan's love? You know, years after not following Christ and thinking that this God actually hated me, I started to listen. I started to learn who God was and is. I brought all of my bad to God so he can know who I am. And then I learned that in the midst of all this perceived quote-unquote bad, God was still working for his greater good. I learned he came to his own beautiful earth in the flesh to die on a hill that he created by the people he created and chose to participate with. God gives good gifts all the time. But it was my perception of what good and bad actually means that altered my thoughts on who God was and what I mean to him. I then put God in the situation I mentioned earlier. I would sit in God's restaurant, expecting him to come to my table and ask, "Can I take your order?" That was me. I put him in a box. I made him my waiter. I made him my genie. I often would demand things that I knew were bad for me. Including that dessert that I knew would get me too full, right? That extra pie I didn't need. And then when I left, I blamed the restaurant for allowing me to order what I ordered. It sounds insane, doesn't it? It sounds ridiculous. How often do we do this? How often do we treat the literal creator of our entire universe like a waiter or a cashier or something? How often do we sit in his restaurant, expecting him to serve us transactionally instead of relationally? How often do we think that God is around for us instead of us for him? God gives good gifts. We know this. We learn that in Matthew 7:11, which says this in the NIV. If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, people take this out of context and people are like, see, I should ask him for a winning lottery ticket and I will get that 100% because he loves me and he gives good gifts. No. Now, this means that when you're aligned with God's will, if we're aligned with God's will to be done, the lottery ticket and all that stuff, I mean, yeah, you can ask for it, but you have to understand where that motivation is coming from, right? Is that your will or God's will for that lottery ticket? Seriously, think about that. But we give good gifts out of love to the ones we love. We do not ask for our loved ones to return the favor or to do in order for us to love them. So why do we think God does the same with us? These gifts talked about in the Bible, most importantly, the gift of eternal life because he loved the world, you know, John 3:16, and gave his only son, then rose up again after the third day for us to have everlasting life, are the gifts that we can never earn. We've never earned these gifts. Never. They were given to us for free. Especially that one. We never need to prove our love using deeds. We just need to be in love from gratitude with our Creator so we can better know Him and He can better know us and we can better serve Him and we can better serve the world. We think and overthink deeds, doing deeds, doing work. We overthink that all the time. Good deeds and work and all these things. Like if I wake up in the morning and Stacey has like a favorite breakfast, I'm not going to just like, cook her something that she hates. I'm going to cook her something that she loves. I'm going to cook that favorite breakfast for her. Even if she doesn't ask, just because I want to do that for her. And she does the same for me. We just do these things out of love. So we should do these things out of love for God. If we feel compelled to start a podcast, right? Start a podcast about God and preach to the world. If you feel compelled to go serve. If you feel these things, these little nudges from the Spirit to go do these deeds out of love because you're like, I really love people. I really love God and I want to go and do these things. Do it. But don't think that if I don't do these, God will hate me. And if I do these, He's going to give me really awesome things back. Like, it's like if I serve, 10 times in a row, I'm going to get like a Corvette or something. Like, that's not how He works. That's not how He works. And the same way into heaven, I hear it all the time. I asked somebody, another colleague at work, and I was just like, I don't even know how it even happened, right? This conversation just came natural. He knows I'm a believer in Christ. And he goes, yeah, I just, hope that my life is awesome here. And once I get to the pearly gates, they let me in. I'm like, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, then you're already in. There's no getting to the pearly gates and then, St. Peter or somebody kind of looks at like this long list of good and bad things you've done. That's not how this works. You love God. You believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You have eternal life. But if you love God, you do commandments. You do things. You do deeds. Let's not get it twisted here. Okay? Same back to the restaurant deal. Let's go back to that, right? We expect God to serve us, to be like, even though he said, I did come to serve, as Jesus Christ, it's not for us to take advantage of that. It was not for people to take advantage of. He just loved us so much, he served us. But this does not mean that he continues to do so as a restaurant waiter, right? He's not here to come, hey, how can I take your order? I know you're living on my own, so how can I take your order? And then you're like, okay, I want, $1 million, a couple cars, a couple big houses, a great wife, a great husband, blah, 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 blah. Okay, here, give me this and I'll give you those. No, we should flip the script, right? We should flip the script and say, hi, God, my name is Dan. I'm grateful for you. Can I take your order? I want to serve you and I want to serve people. Now, I hope this is blessing you because I know so many Christians that are stuck on this. So many Christians that are stuck in this. And I understand you want to do so much more so God loves you. He already does. And I know there's so many people that are non-believers that are stuck on this. Like that person I worked with, right? I keep giving to this company. I keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing myself and working overtime and doing all these things. And I just don't get anything back. Why is that? I'm a good person. I'm trying to do all these things. And I try to put this karma back and these good vibes. And I'm not getting them good vibes back. And that good karma, what's going on? That is just a horrible, it's so exhausting. It's so exhausting, this meritocratic, transactional way of living. Now, I understand work hard, right? Work as hard as you can. Help your company out, okay? But in this case, just know that you're loved. You're already loved by the creator of the universe, and that's it, okay? So I have some verses to meditate on. The first one is this, and if you can't write these down, if you can't get to them right now, if you can't read along with me, that's okay. They're in the description. First verse is 1 Samuel 12, 20 to 25, and I'm reading from the ESV this time. It says this, "And Samuel said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside after empty things that cannot profit or deliver, for they are empty. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, and I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king.'" Okay. Although we should ask God in prayer and petition, we should not idolize what we ask of him, especially if it's for the it's of the world, especially if it's something that seems pretty like nothing. The Israelites here idolize having a king. That's what they wanted. They wanted a king, and that's okay to want a king. They wanted someone to lead them, and that's okay, but they idolized having a king. And Samuel here is essentially telling them that, sure, have your king, but remember, you already have one true king. That's God slash Yahweh. This God has delivered you, and no matter the king you have here on earth, if you don't serve God and worship God first, not this king, every king that is appointed doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They were looking for the relief of their iniquities and worldly troubles from a worldly king and not God. Don't we do the same? Money is a big one of those. Man, all my life problems would be gone if I just had a million, a billion, $1 trillion. That's your idol, right? So there you go. Seek God to rid you of your iniquities. Seek God to help with your worldly troubles. Second verse here is John 12, 25 to 26. Again, the ESV, it says this, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." We ask for things in vain a lot because we love our lives, or we want our lives to be better, or we want to love our lives more. Instead of seeking God to find that true joy and happiness, we seek gifts or miracles or signs from God. And again, these things are not really bad to ask for from God, but if you seek these things for self and not the glory of God, you're heading down a really rough road. That's a road of making yourself sovereign. Serving God and asking for his will to be done is the best route for all of mankind. Here are the three deep digging questions. You knew they were coming if you've listened long enough to this podcast. Here are the three deep digging questions. Again, they're in the description. Revisit them, pray, meditate on them. Here they are. Number one, have you ever seen God as your waiter or genie? How so? Question two, knowing God served his disciples the way that he did, how does that affect your relationship with him? Question three, what are some ways you can serve God? Thank you again so much. The Identity series is coming. I'm saying it again, and you can tell I'm smiling right now when I say it. It's coming. We're just having some people pray over it. We're having some people go over it with me so that and Stacy, so that we can make sure that we are hitting every point that's necessary, because it's huge. I want to pray over all of you. If you can bow your heads or take your prayer posture, if it's safe to do so, and join me in prayer, let's talk to God. Our Father, our Holy Creator, thank you so much. Thank you for serving us, but we want to serve you now because we love you. You served us because you love us. We want to serve you now because we love you. We want to serve your people because you love them too. We want to continuously live as Jesus did. You showed us everything we need to do in Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. You give us everything we need to know with our daily bread, with our word that you've provided to us, with your word that you provided to us. And we thank you so much for that. Without it, we would be empty. We'd be lost. And we thank you for keeping us away from ourselves, like not making ourselves sovereign. And when we do that, we pray that you can guide us back to you. We thank you for everything you've done for us, and we want to serve you, so please continue to guide us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.